with me in the studio, part of that massively successful England team, the most successful England team that we've had since 1990, since the World Cup in Italy. And Karen, Tony, good morning. Welcome, both of you.
Good morning.
Did you notice a difference between how you were viewed the day before you went to the actual World Cup and the day you got back?
Yeah, totally.
In what way?
It's just in every way, I think. Obviously, we went out there to win a World Cup. That was our aim. Whether people believed that or not, that was the group's aim. And I don't think many people were on board with that. Obviously, they wish you luck and want you to do well, but I don't think people realised how far we could actually go. Then when we got so far and the whole nation was behind us, it was an incredible feeling. And also our aim when we were out there was to inspire the nation as well. That was our ultimate aim. And I think as the stages went on, we began to do that. And by the time it got to the semi-final stage, I think every person in England was behind us, just like they would be with the men. So that was a fantastic achievement.
Why do you think, Karen, that we did wish you well, but I think only you believed you could go that far? I think the rest of us just hoped you would, but it's one of those, you know, it's not going to happen because it's a bit fairy tale, really. But you believed. Why did you believe?
I think as the tournament kind of went on, that we really built that belief, didn't we, from match to match? You know, obviously we didn't really start out very well against the French, but as we played Mexico, we kind of built momentum. And I think we just knew that we were so much more capable of what we've done in the past.
I mean, I've been watching England's men's teams for very, very many years. And of course, since 66, we haven't won anything. And I've watched us play, and we've had games in which we've won and I thought we've not really done as well as we could have done there. And often you'll hear us, you know, described, you know, the plucky English. But for once, against Japan, I thought that was the real deal. That was your game. You should have won that, shouldn't you? What happened? What moment in time do you think changed it?
I think about that game in particular, like, we just played so well. We really had Japan on the back foot, and it was just so unfortunate the way that, you know, we conceded in the last minute in that way as well. I think if we would have carried on to extra time and possibly penalties, I think we would have gone and won it. But, you know, throughout the tournament, we adapted and changed formation and changed personnel, and we managed to, you know, we're really, like, match savvy, so we knew exactly what we needed to do and when we needed to do it, and every single person on the pitch knew their job, and they would sacrifice everything they could for the team. So we're all very proud, and we believed in what we could do.
Tony, are you full-time now? Is this what you do for a living?
Yeah, with Manchester City. Last year was my first year of being a full-time professional, which has been a dream come true, really. I think at a young age, I never really believed that it would happen. I think I wanted to set a pathway. It was always my aim to, you know, hopefully make women's football the biggest it can be, along with the rest of the girls. But the fact that it's happened so soon in my career has been literally a dream come true, and I've got to thank Manchester City for that.
What's the benefits? What's better for you, being pro rather than being semi-pro? What's the real benefit out of it?
Everton. I think when I look back, I did have a year where I did work. So I was working 9 till 5. In a normal job, and then I'd have to go training 8 till 10 o'clock at night, so you can imagine that's tough. I also had an England programme alongside that, so the 8 till 10 o'clock training was with my club for Everton. But then of a morning, I had to get up at maybe 7 till 8 o'clock in the morning, do a weight session, because my England programme was that. So yeah, it was tough. And there's still people out there now in the FAWSL2 and some in FAWSL1 who still have to work, and it's really amazing what some people have done to go through the whole careers. And, so, you know, I know Rachel Brown well, and I know Lindsay Johnson, and they were school teachers, and they're incredible school teachers. But to be a professional alongside that was amazing for them. But I just think now the real focus is on women's football becoming professional, and so we can put our all into it. And I think the fact that teams have done that, it's seen a rise in the ability of the players, the game's got better, it's got quicker, it's got faster, and then obviously the success that England have had, that wouldn't have happened if we were still part-time.
Do you realise, Karen, that when you went there and performed so well, that it's the football equivalent of going on the X Factor. So we sort of didn't really know too much about you. Then you won it and you came back. So you're role models now. I mean, how do you feel about that? Kids are going to look up to you. Oh. You know what I mean? They're going to look at Karen Barnsley and say, I want to be like her. I want to be a goalie. I want to be like her.
Yeah, that's...
And you know, you've got to live up to that.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
No pressure. Millions of kids, no pressure.
I don't know if anyone wants to be like me. I don't know. But, I think, really, I mean, you never really perceive yourself in that manner. I think when you go out there, you go out there to do your best, you do a job, and hopefully you succeed. But when we came back, you know, you do realize that people have been watching, and I think overall, it's not so much about being a role model as it is just trying to be a good person. I think, like, mm-hmm. I don't want people to be exactly like me or Tony. I just want them to find their own way. Do you know what I mean? And kind of just be comfortable in themselves and do what they do best, you know, more than anything else. I don't want to become like a cookie cutter version of me and Tony and Steph and Lucy and so on and so forth. Just, it is a bit strange though, like kind of walking around thinking that that people are like looking up to us now. You know, it's a bit surreal. But
I think that's the weird feeling. I think now people are like smiling at you, and I'm like, do I know them? But you forget. No, you do.
You
I'm like,
should
I wave to them?
Hiya, Tony, and you go, sorry. Yeah. How's it going, Tony? Great. Do I know you? No, but we know you. And I've got a question for you. This is from Millie Waller, who's 13. On Twitter, which is really brilliant. That Tony and Karen, how did you get into football? Karen, first of all.
Oh, hi, Millie.
hi, Millie.
Hi. I just started playing, just because I wanted something to do. To be honest, I started playing softball in the States, and I thought it was really boring. So I wanted.
What's softball?
It's like a girls' version of baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was really boring. So sorry, softball fans. But my dad, you know, he loves football. Obviously, like growing up over here and moving to California, he was like my main influence. So I started playing it, absolutely loved it, made some friends, and that was, you know, the fire was lit.
I often wonder with goalkeepers, and I've asked every goalkeeper, why goalkeeper? All the outfield positions, I think you find them, you just, but goalkeepers are a breed apart.
I think goalkeeping finds you, doesn't it?
Does it? Go on, when
you
did you realise?
You get stuck in goals, don't you?
Hey, all right.
You're getting goals.
Truth be told, I started out on the wing, actually, and then I quickly got shoved in goal. No, I think, you know, to be honest, as a kid, you just kind of rotate positions and you know where you want to be. But I think with keeping, like, you're either good at it or you're not. Mm-hmm. So I think at that time, I was probably about 5 or 6, and I didn't mind having, like, the ball being pinged at me, you know. So I didn't mind getting in the way and getting dirty.
It's
got
to be crazy.
And for you, for Tony, from Millie. And by the way, Millie, great to hear from you. How did you get into football?
Hiya, Millie. And it's because my brothers, I've got an older brother and a younger brother, so just in the garden with them, I was just always thrown in the mix a bit and probably thrown in goal like KB, but I was strong enough to stand up for myself.
When did you realise that you weren't just a girl knocking a football about, but you could actually play women's football and be okay at it?
Probably when I was about 12 when England came. That was when I got my first call up. It was the under 15s. I didn't even know England had a women's football team.
Honestly?
Honestly, like, I didn't. Not that young, under 15s. I didn't know nothing about it. So to get the letter, it was nice. And then it was only 3-day camps, but it felt like a lifetime away. I used to get a new tracksuit. I used to get loads of money. I used to get £20 credit. I was only there for 2 nights. And all the money went on the vending machine.
I'm beginning to like Tony even more. Start with you, Karen. What's the main difference you've noticed since you've come back, for you personally, since you've come back? You went there as somebody would hope to do well in the World Cup, and you've come back with that third place. And so the world's going to view you differently. How's life changed for you?
I think it's everything's a lot more positive, I think, than it was kind of before we left. Not only as an individual, but I think as a team, as women's, you know, athletes, as women's footballers as well, I think everything's much more positive, and I think people have kind of let us empower ourselves and It's much more kind of accepted than it was before. But yeah, I think, you know, when you're walking down the street or, you know, just being invited to do things like this, these are the type of differences. And this is how, like, hopefully we'll raise awareness for not only England, but for our clubs, like, you know, Man City. Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. I remember when the American voice goes, Man City. I love it.
Man City.
Yeah, Man City. We've got Christine in Middleton with us now. Christine, good morning.
Good morning.
And listen, Karen and Tony, I'll shut up and let you speak. Where you go?
Hi, girls.
Morning.
I want to know what you feel like playing against Aguero and Joe Hart, because you've both got their positions, haven't you? And all our lads, you know, all our good lads. How does it feel?
Well, we're not playing against them, but we're...
you start to mix with them, don't... you know, how do you feel like they... I know you're not playing against them.
No, I'm just kidding.
Do you sort of gauge yourself, you know, with them, how they play?
Yeah, it's incredible, I think. At Manchester City, you know, the club's really together, and so the women's team and the men's team isn't really separated. So on a day-by-day basis, we get to watch them train and walk past them in the building.
Yeah.
And we obviously go to the games on a weekend and see them in action.
Yeah. And I'm going next season.
Are you?
<Yeah. laughs>
No, but it's nice, you know, like, especially the players, the calibre of Joe Hart and Sergio Aguero, and to watch them week by week, we can only learn from them, and even to be able to ask for advice from them. Or, you know,
do you talk to the lads?
If we see them, they come over and offer the words, like they wish us good luck for the World Cup. And if we see them in the building, they'll ask how we got on at the weekends. Patrick Vieira's really big on that, because he's in our building more so than the first team. But yeah, it's really nice. It's a great club to be at.
It must be great for you, you know, working there like that.
No, it is.
Really, it's really great. You're dead lucky, aren't you?
It's great that we're integrated.
Excuse me, Christine, are you a City fan?
not much.
All the air in the studio's gone blue, light blue.
Well, we have five girls, didn't we, on our English team, didn't we?
That's
five
right.
50 girls.
We did, representing.
Yeah. Karen, on behalf of Christine, Karen, do you watch the likes of Mr. Hart and how he plays and take anything from that? Is that anything that you feel you'd learn from, or have you got your own way of judging how you play? And
oh, absolutely. I love watching like City play, and I love watching football, so I'll take as many pointers as I can from watching different goalkeepers and kind of pick up things along the way. But you know, at City we have kind of a methodology and a philosophy behind what we're doing, and so you can see the things that we're being kind of taught, and you can see them being applied in the game. So it's pretty exciting when you know, he makes a big save and you're like, yeah, we do that too.
we've got about 10 minutes, so if you want to do as Christine's just done and speak to Tony and Karen, ring us on 0161 228 2255. This is from Anna Kappa on Twitter. Tony and Karen, are we brackets City? I don't think I've ever used the word City or Manchester City so often in a programme since I started here 2 years ago. But are you going to do the double this season, winning the Continental Cup and the league, is the question.
I would absolutely love to. Yeah. It's going to be a big ask. It's going to be tough. I think the win on the weekend was massive for us. It was a big 3 points. Obviously, Chelsea were up there. So to take 3 points away from them was massive for the team. I think we've been on a good run of form lately. And if we can continue that in the second half of the season, then who knows what can happen. You know, we've got 6 big games to go, and we know that every one of them is going to be like a cup final. And obviously, the Continental Cup's just started out. We won that last year, so we'd love to retain that. But it's going to take the whole squad, and it's going to be difficult, but that's definitely our aim.
Spanner G on Twitter for you, Karen. Do you prefer playing for Man City or England? See you both tomorrow night, and good luck is at the end of that tweet.
Well, thanks for the good luck messages.
City or England?
I love playing for both equally. I'm going to sit on the fence there. No, I think we've got a really special group in both camps. I mean, the England group's really done well to come together this season and really put a great performance in at the World Cup. But, you know, I see the City girls every day in and day out, and, you know, seeing smiling faces like Tony Duggan here sitting next to me. How could I, you know, not enjoy it?
How long do you think it will be before we see a woman manager in women's football at the highest level?
In women's or men's?
Women's.
There's already women's managers out there at the highest level. Obviously, Hope Powell was in charge of the England team for and numerous years, and she's done an incredible job of getting women's football
Mark
to this stage.
Mark came in, though, didn't he, to do that job then?
Yeah, he did. He obviously took over, and Mark's been great since he's took over, and I don't think it should matter on whether you're female or male who takes the job. It's whoever's best fit, and at this moment in time, Mark is the best manager for the job. He's proved that, and he took us the furthest any England team's ever been. So, but you must remember what other people have done to get us to this stage as well, and that's great credit to Hope, and the pathway that she's set for the women's game has been, will be forever in depth about.
Well, do you think, well, I mean, this is just a complete curiosity from me. Do you think we'll ever see, like, a women's team play a men's team at any point in the future competitively?
I don't think competitively. I think you have to separate the two.
I don't mean within the league. What, sorry, but a proper game. Okay, a friendly, but the real deal.
Well, that happens, funny enough. It's more in our house. Obviously, the fans don't come along, but especially at Manchester City, we play against the under-18 lads or the under-16 mm-hmm. lads just to warm up for our games or in pre-season. And when we go on the road with England, if we're in La Manga or anywhere on our travels, we'll always play against a lads team as well. And I think it's great. I love playing against the lads when I was younger. And
it's my bucket list. It's on my bucket list, that, you know.
We'll invite you along.
I'd love to get a team, you know, like, you know, players, ex-pros mm-hmm. and that, and play the Man City women's team.
Said, let's do it.
I'd love to do
it. Let's
do it.
It'd
be brilliant.
then you can make me look even more stupid. Ambitions for you two. I mean, you've just... Okay, we've another World Cup in 4 years, and you guys hopefully will be the mainstay of that. But what ambitions have you got in the near future, Karen?
I think obviously, like, immediately, we're looking to try and win the league and hopefully the Continental
but
Cup.
But for you as a player?
Oh, for me as a player? I don't know, just as many clean sheets as possible, really.
And she's been doing that recently, so keep that up.
For you, Tony?
I'll have to say score goals, won't I? No, it's been good to get back from the World Cup and get on the score sheet for City, so I hope that can continue and obviously help the team. We want to win the league. I want a FAWSL winner's medal around my neck, and hopefully that can happen soon.
When you think, though, that you've got five members of the squad are Man City players, and yet you're fifth. I mean, I actually thought, I'll be honest, I thought you'd just take that league by storm. How fair a position is that for you, do you think?
I think if you look at it properly, then we've got a game in hand as well, which could take us up to joint second, I think. So we're in the mix for the running, definitely. We know, as I say, it's a big end to the season, and it can go any way. But I think if we win all our games remaining, then it's in our own hands. But I think if you look,
because you're good enough, aren't you, really?
Yeah, we've got the ability, definitely. But I think you can't just pull together a team from just the internationals and hope that it works. I think many teams have tried and many teams have failed, and I think it's about getting the right people. And I think that's what Manchester City's done. I think if you look at, you know, the likes of Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, they've got so many great internationals on the team as well. They might not have as many English, but they've definitely got foreign players who have great ability too.
I think across the board as well, you can tell that the league's strengthening, you know. Yeah. So obviously there's going to be a lot of vying for points and positions. So, mm-hmm. you know, the great thing is that it's so close that within a few number of weeks, you know, the tables can change like that. Yeah.
You've got, is it Durham you're playing tomorrow in the Cup? Is it tomorrow?
Yeah. Wednesday evening. So it's the Continental Cup again. That's kind of like a league format. As I said, we won that last year. And it'd be incredible to see, you know, the fans turn out in the numbers as they did at the last home game. And the support's been incredible. But I still think our aim to fill that stadium is
on.
Two questions for you for the positions you play. For you, Tony, right, you've been banging them in recently. Mm-hmm. Now, I score a goal every 10 years or something. In fact, I scored a goal a few weeks ago and I couldn't believe I'd scored it. I stood there, I've scored. But you've been, what's it like for a forward? Because if you don't score, you think, oh no. But if you start going, wham, bang, 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 then suddenly it's like, well, I hope you're going to score every game. What's the pressure like?
No, again, it's nice pressure. It's kind of, it's probably more pressure when you're not scoring, because that's when it's frustrating. That's when you're doubting yourself or other people are doubting you. But when you're scoring, you know, there's no pressure. It's people expect you to score and you just go out there and do it. I think I've found my shooting boots of late, which is nice. I lost them at the World Cup.
Don't change them, okay?
So, yeah, I think I'm going to get told off for wearing them.
And for you, Karen, what's it like saving, because I've never, when I'm playing goals in five-a-side, you know, you take a round robin, uh-huh. and I am to goalkeeping what Lyron Blair is to spot welding. I'm a dreadful keeper. So, but what's your, I mean, you've pulled up some cracking saves. You did in the World Cup.
Oh,
what does a keeper get from that? You know, when you think, I don't know, tell me.
It's probably the equivalent of scoring a goal. I think you get a massive buzz off it. You definitely do. Because, you know, I think at any point, that can make or break a game, you know. So to make a huge save in a big moment is—it feels like, I guess, the equivalent of scoring a goal. No, it's really nice, and you know that you've kind of just like really shut them down.
I just don't think the goalkeepers get the headlines, do they?
No,
obviously,
of
the goal scorers get it, but
I think she did. I think she did this time. I knew exactly what you were doing. My question for Karen and Tony is: what advice would you give the national men's England team? Because in my eyes, they will never achieve what you've achieved. Oh. Well done to you both. Go on.
I just think the main thing from the nation and the response was how much we give for the shirt and how passionate we was. And you could see the togetherness of our group. And I'm not saying the men don't do that, but I think from the outside, people want to see that maybe a bit more. And I definitely think, you know, when we play for England, we give it everything. And
absolutely.
I think if the men can do that, I'm not saying that they don't do it, but I'm just saying if they can maybe show it a bit more, then.
And from E. Perez on Twitter from California.
Oh, right.
Hello,
oh,
from hello from California.
He's up early.
That's a first. Tony and Karen, how important was it to have that third place game so soon after the match against Japan? We didn't ask you that. So how important was the fact that it came up like that?
In a strange way, I'm not really sure, because I think we did need some time to get over it, but it was just like straight back to business, I guess. So it was more about us making decisions to kind of move on quickly than the game coming quickly and going, ooh, how are we going to manage this? But
I think for me, it's always nice to be able to put things right straight away. But then you could say if we lost, we needed more time.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's that balance, isn't it?
I've got about a minute and three quarters. Bernard, good morning.
Hiya, mate. Okay.
Yeah, quick as you can. I've got Tony and Karen at your behest. Fire away.
It's a question for Tony. You scored against Chelsea. What was with the chicken dance?
Did you like it?
What was the chicken dance?
Do you watch Soccer AM by any chance?
Bernard,
do you watch
Soccer AM?
Oh, sorry?
Do you watch Soccer AM?
I don't know.
Okay, well, it's a football show anyway on a Saturday morning, and there's a man in it from Tubes, and he gets the players to do that celebration, so that's where that came from.
Bernard from Wrighton, that's a great call to finish with. Just very quickly, because I've got, in the final minute, quick bit of advice from both of you for the likes of my granddaughter, Izzy, who I know can play football. A quick bit of advice in terms of getting into it and doing it properly?
I just think that you need to take every opportunity that comes your way, and whether people knock you for being a girl playing football or not, you have to stick to what you believe in and what you're good at. So I just think, you know, if you're good enough, then the pathway's set for you now. So go out there, enjoy it, and hopefully you can make a living out of it.
Thank you both of you for coming in. Karen, thanks. Tony,
no worries.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
There's a piece of video from me from, it's got to be 10, 15 years ago, and I say... girls can't throw stones and they can't play football, and that's 15 years ago, and people like you've changed my whole attitude towards women's football.
Oh,
I'm
awesome.
So proud of what you've done. I'm so proud that my granddaughter hopefully will be a really decent girl playing football. Honestly, it's been belting having you in. Take care.
Oh, that's great. Fun. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Really mean that as well. Cheers.